Amen. The Apostle Paul said, you are complete in Christ. That means you can have everything else, but if you don't have Christ, it's missing. And you may be missing a lot of things, but you have Christ, you have it all. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 11, and even though this is Communion Sunday, we're going to have another installment of our Promise series. God has promised some things to His people. I do believe as conditions worsen more and more in our world, we're going to need to fall more and more upon the promises of God, because that's the only thing that's going to give light and hope in the world we live in. There's no other source, I'm talking about of true word and true promise and true light, than the promises of God. You'd stand for the reading of the word, and if you have a Bible with a red letter edition, you've already ascertained that these are the words of Christ, not just the gospel writer. These are the words of Christ. How many believes He knows what He's promised us? Amen. Just because it hasn't sometimes sank into us doesn't mean He doesn't fully and completely know what He has promised us. Here's what He says, Christ. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Someone wrote verses, made a hymn, and this was the chorus. You actually sang the chorus. I grew up singing it. I'm not going to sing it. But you'll never forget once you sing it, singing especially that last part. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me. I want to preach this morning on the promise of rest. The promise of rest. I'm talking about way beyond just catching up on your sleep because you get comfortable and warm. I'm talking about a rest that goes a lot deeper than that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your abiding presence. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, shut up our hearts to the truth. Move in this place. May there be a growing awareness that you're in our midst. Lord, may we listen closely to hear that you're still speaking those words. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Help us to listen to that. And Lord, I pray you'd help folks in this service through the preaching, through the praying, through the communion. Lord, that you would just help souls, that they would feel that eternal strength in their hearts. They feel that refreshment from heaven. They feel that sense of eternity, oh God. Lord, would you not do that? Lord, may this be a holy moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. There's been a lot of talk about the flu. We've got a lot of texts and emails and phone calls. It got me to thinking about all this talk of flu when I first came here. I was 29 years old, came in July. I woke up that December 2nd on my 30th birthday with the flu. And I came to church most of that time, but for 3 weeks of my 30th birthday, I had the flu. And I thought two things. Number one, if this is what 30's like. And number two, if this is what Ohio's like. And if you'll remember that same year, by the way, incidentally, we went from the end of November to the 1st of March with just a few hours of sunshine. But being sick that week, we hadn't established a doctor, and I didn't know where to go, so finally got a hold of someone in Trotwood and was uptown Trotwood in the doctor's clinic. Here I am, 30 years old, but I was so sick. I couldn't even sit up. I lay down in the waiting room. And in that condition, there was only one thing at that moment I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear that door open and somebody standing calling my name and say, "You can come on back and see the doctor." That's physical flu and physical sickness. But we know as humans we get all kinds of ailments in our spirit and in our mind and our emotions. And if you're in that condition this morning, I got good news for you. That door is going to open. And he's not just sending a nurse, he's coming himself. And he's going to call your name. Come on back. The great physician is ready to see you. How many's glad for the invitation? Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I pray that that would happen this morning. Someone would realize in your condition, he's calling your name to help you. It's not a general invitation. It's an individualized invitation. I want to begin this morning looking at Christ's words. And let's think about for whom this promise is. Who is this promise for? In common vernacular, Jesus said in verse 28, he tells us who it is for. This promise is for all ye that labor and are heavy laden. This promise is for those that labor. That word can mean a lot of things. But let me just tell you what it meant when Jesus spoke it to the hearers. To labor is to be fatigued and worn out from the effort. Anyone been fatigued and worn out from the effort? The word labor means a weariness that sets in from what you've been doing. You're just frankly weary of all you've been doing. Labor, that's who the promise is for. Those that labor. You know, sometimes in the medical realm, you hear when a person is struggling, maybe pneumonia, maybe other physical ailments, and the notation will be made that their breath is labored. You know, when your breath is labored, even ordinary activities cause you to begin to breathe hard. And that's what it means to labor. I mean, you're so weary that even ordinary activity just saps the spiritual strength from you, and you feel just so spiritually tired. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because we want to ultimately build faith this morning and not destroy faith. But there's a lot of people tired of a lot of things. In fact, maybe we could just put it this way. There are some folks that are tired of being tired. And by the way, that's whom this invitation is for. It's for those that are just tired of being tired. What is there to be tired about? Some are tired of the temptation. I mean, day after day, it's the same temptation. Some are tired of the daily grind, just the cares of this life, just meeting responsibilities. Some are tired of failure. I know this isn't something we broadcast, but some are so tired because it seems in spiritual things, in financial things, maybe it's work, maybe it's school, but they're tired of over and over failing. I mean, one F wouldn't be so bad, but two or three in a row. One financial situation's not so bad, but three or four in a row. They're just tired of failure. Some are tired of being misunderstood, attempting to do the best that they can, and yet even the so-called loved ones are speaking unkind things to them because they misunderstand. Some are tired of fighting fear and fighting worry. It's always with them. Some are tired of just the bad. The fight. I mean, Satan is against them and they're weary. They're tired of the fight. Some are tired of the aches and the hurt that they deal with daily. Maybe you're tired, but that's who the promise is for. It's for those that labor. And if you're laboring this morning, the promise is for you. Hallelujah. Not only is the promise for those that labor, amen, the promise is for those that are heavy laden. heavy laden. That's some older words, but it simply means bearing a heavy load. You sometimes I marvel at the folks of our church family. Some of them bear very heavy loads. But being heavy laden is more than just bearing a heavy load. It means that finally you've got to the place, you've got one burden too many. You ever heard that proverb, the straw that broke the camel's back? Have you ever felt like that camel? I mean, they start loading up. They put that on. Oh, okay, I can bear that. Put another one. I can bear that. Oh, that's heavy, but I can bear that. Oh, that seems a lot of weight, but I can keep on going. But finally, there's that burden. It may not be as big of others, but it's at the time it comes. It's with all the other stuff that you have that there's that final burden that's placed upon your heart, your mind, your life. That's what it is to be heavy laden. One burden too many. Just one more burden that causes you to stumble, to break back, to break your back, to bog you down. You say, well, you know, I heard what they're going through. It doesn't seem like much to me. Yeah, but you don't know all what they're already carrying. Well, I could handle that, yes, but you don't know all the other things. I'm talking about heavy laden. Amen. I was talking to Uncle Dale this week about his therapy, and he said, you know what? They added a half a pound to my weights they're having me work with, a half a pound this week. He said, you wouldn't think that a half a pound would be much, but it's a whole lot by the time you get through just a half a pound. You see all that he's going through physically in his weakness, just a half a pound. You say, that's nothing. Amen. I could carry that with my little finger, but you put that on top of everything else, heavy laden. I've just read of a man that walked the totality of the Appalachian Trail, and there are actually businesses established on the trail because those hikers get involved, and even though they've tried to pack light, they find that their loads are too heavy, and they get to these businesses and they begin to take out things, and the business will mail it home for them and sell them lighter things, and the man writing the book said, you wouldn't believe how heavy something 3 or 4 pounds is when you're carrying it all day long and climbing up the mountain. I'm talking about being heavy laden, one more burden than you can bear. Amen. I've been reading these books about the Arctic and Amundsen, who finally was the first one to float and get a ship through the Northwest Passage of the Arctic from the Atlantic to the Pacific. Talked about right at the start, they got in a storm, and the storm drove them up on the rocks, and they couldn't get loose, and they began to throw things overboard, the gear and the supplies, and still they're stuck, and the storm hits again, and they're about to be broken to pieces, and someone suggested, let's throw just a few more things out, and they did. They jettisoned just a few more things, and all of a sudden that boat began to float. It was just a few things that was holding it down because it was added with the rest. I'm talking about heavy laden. If you're heavy laden, if it's one more burden than you think you can bear, I've got good news for you. This promise is for you. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. And I'd like to say there's no greater burden than the burden of sin. He'll take that from you this morning. Who was this promise for? I like, and I want us to pay attention to one word Christ put in here. He said, all ye. All ye that are laboring and heavy laden. Jesus was speaking to everyone. Now I want to tell you, I love to preach this and give this invitation to unbelievers and sinners. Jesus said, come unto me. But do you realize he primarily is not talking to sinners? That applies to them. He includes them. But most of that crowd was people who were raised in religion. I'm talking about sinner in the sense of not knowing about God and not knowing about church. These were people who were raised with the knowledge of God. Jesus is speaking to all. You know, so many times we think of this and we think, well, you know, this is nice for those that have never heard about God and don't know Christ. I think it's for those that do know Christ too. You know, somewhere down the line, we got the idea that church is a showcase for spiritual superheroes. We begin to think that, you know, the church is this place where we come because we've got it together. We come because we've all got the victory, and we come because none of us have any problems, and we come because we all have great faith, and we come because we're all on the top of the world. But I want you to know that's not true. This isn't a showcase for spiritual superheroes. Church is a hospital for the hurting, the weary, and the struggling. It's not just for those that have never heard of Christ and don't know Him. It's not just for those who would come in out of sin and come in from chemical abuse. It is for Christians. It is for Christians who are people. And being people, they have problems. They have people problems and people battles and people weaknesses and people struggles. We may be Christians, but Christians aren't just specimens of spiritual excellence. Christians are people, and it's to people, all people. I said all people, that the promise is, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Some folks get to thinking that everybody in the church is a doctor or a nurse, and the only patients are those from sin who happen to stumble in. I don't believe that. First of all, I'd like to say doctors and nurses get sick too. Amen. If we were all doctors and nurses in the spiritual scheme of things, doctors and nurses get sick too. But the truth of the matter is, even being saved, I'm not saying Christ has done nothing. He's done tremendous. I'm not saying we haven't made headway. We've made headway. I'm not saying we live in sin. Amen. We live above sin. We can live above sin. What I'm saying is, even as believers, He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Hallelujah. Don't exclude yourself this morning by saying, well, I'm not a sinner. I don't have the burden of sin. You may not have the burden of sin, but you've got some other kind of burden. Amen. He wasn't just talking to the woman in the crowd that was jaded by sin. He wasn't just talking to that one that was suffering intensely and tired of pain and the fight. That day when He originally spoke this, He was talking to those who were fed up with life. He was talking to those who were burned out with church and burned out with religion. He was talking to those who felt frayed at both ends. He was talking to those that might have felt betrayed even by spiritual leaders. He was talking to a youth that had already concluded that there was nothing worth living for. Youth that said, the struggles are too many. I can't make it. I might as well give up. Hallelujah. That crowd was a religious crowd. And He said, come unto me all ye that are weary and heavy laden. Aren't you glad the promise is for all? You say, you don't understand, Pastor. If I was to come, people begin to think I have problems. Oh, hallelujah. Who doesn't have problems? And besides that, folks have said to me, I'm afraid to come. I'm even afraid to come to church in this condition. I'm afraid to admit I've got this kind of problem. I'm afraid to admit I'm struggling with this. I'm embarrassed. I don't know why folks do that. Amen. If you broke your bone in a car wreck, would you be embarrassed to go and say, oh, I'm so embarrassed, doctor, for you to set this bone? If you got real, real sick with the flu and dehydrated, even got pneumonia, would you say, oh, no, I'm just too embarrassed to go to the emergency? Oh, and the emergency room doctor walks in and says, I'm going to examine. Oh, I'm too embarrassed. Amen. I'm embarrassed that I got the flu. No, no, no. The thing is, when you got a physical ailment, disease, or injury, the only thing matters is getting to the place where you can get help. And I'm telling you, with spiritual and emotional and mental needs, there's no need to be embarrassed. The only thing that matters is come to the one, the great physician, who knows how to help and heal and make whole and make well. And if anyone is sitting there judging, they have forgotten that they too are a person, and they too have problems, and they too have temptations, and they too have struggle. Amen. It's not to be embarrassed or to embarrass. The thing is to answer the invitation. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Come and don't hide it. Come saying, I am weary. I am heavy laden. Come admitting, I am broken. I am hurt. I am, in some cases, mangled. And then I want us to notice what this promise promises. Notice in verse 28, the last part of the verse, he said, I will give you rest. And then the last verse, or last part of verse 29, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. What does the promise promise? It promises rest. I want to tell you, that tells me, first of all, that there is a rest. I have found that one of the things Satan would like to convince people of is this is the way it's always going to be. There's no help. There's no healing. With his promise, that isn't true. I don't care how labored you are, how heavy laden you are, there is a rest for the people of God. And let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it, because there is a rest. Aren't you glad there is? You see, this rest is not just a cessation, a quitting of any work or effort. This rest is not just not having to do anything and escaping from all responsibility and all task. It can mean that. Because if you are in sin, the wages of sin is death. But this is more than cessation of activity. This rest is refreshment, renewal, revival, renovation. Hallelujah, remake. It's not just God says, okay, you got problems, I'm going to put you in a place you have no responsibility, no burdens, no troubles, no difficulties. Nope. He says, I have a rest that even though you have burdens, you have responsibility, you can be refreshed. You can be renewed. You can be replenished. You can be restored. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the rest he speaks of. Teaching a class right now in January, I had a couple students drop out. It reminded me of in college, I'd hand out the syllabi to the class, and I wasn't known as being the easiest instructor, and they would look at the syllabus, and some of them, immediately as class was over, they'd go down to the dean's office to drop the class. Well, they had a process there that if you did that, you had to bring a slip back to the teacher and have them sign it. And they would come, you know, bring me that little slip, and I said, now, before I sign this slip, I want to know, did you pray about this? Oh, yeah. I prayed about it. And many of them would say this, and I feel the peace of God about this. You know what I tell them? I always try to encourage. I said, it's not the peace of God you're feeling. It's the relief of getting out of the responsibilities of the class. Not peace of God, it's relief. You see, God doesn't just want to give us a relief from every responsibility. But what he does want to do is refresh us. A rest of refreshment. He says in verse 29, you shall find rest unto your souls. And sometimes we forget the word soul comes from the root of breath and life. In other words, it's more than just the body. It's the thinking and feeling part of us that he wants to give refreshment to. You can get tired in the way we've been talking about. You can sleep 10 hours a day, every day for a week, and it's still there. But there is a rest for that breathing, thinking, existing part of us, which is our soul. We don't need just rest for our bodies. We need the rest for the soul. Amen. I'm glad there's a promise we can have rest for the soul. Amen. Have you noticed how in America, in our society, I'm tired has become part of the standard greeting? Hello, how are you? We've come to expect it. Amen. Am I telling the truth, or I just make that up? The school photographer was taking pictures of the elementary school and was taking first grade pictures and trying, you know how you do with kids, make conversation to keep their attention. Little girl sat on the stool to get her picture taken. Photographer said, "And what do you want to be? Or what are you going to be when you grow up? What are you going to be when you grow up?" She said, "Tired." Tell me it hadn't become a standard greeting. She had heard her parents say, "I'm tired, I'm tired." She said, "Well, I'm grow up, I'm going to be tired too." And it's not just us old heads with responsibilities and kids. I hear young kids all the time say, "Oh, I'm so tired." Hallelujah. You haven't said it, have you? You haven't said it, have you? See, we're all... This is a sleep clinic. Hallelujah. It promises rest. Not only that there is rest, but that He will give it. Now, I want you to notice here, He said, "I will give you rest." That means the refreshment we need, we cannot self-generate it. You and I do not have in ourselves the ability to produce the refreshment that we need. The refreshment we need, only He can give it. How many realizes that what we so desperately need can only come from God? Hallelujah. But it's not just that He's the one that does it. It's the promise in there. He said, didn't say, "I might," or "I could," or "I will think about it," or "I will consider." He said, "If you come," what did He say? Read it with me. He said, "If you come, I will give you rest." Sounds like a certainty to me. Sounds like a promise. Hallelujah. Then I want to talk from what Jesus said, how we accept this promise. If this is a promise, how do we accept it? Well, Jesus instructs us on that. First of all, He said, "Come unto me." The first thing we do to accept it is we come. I don't want to be too elementary here, but you know, if you come to one thing, that means you're leaving something else. If we come, you know, some folks want help, but they never want to come. I'm not just talking about an altar call. That's figurative. We're going to have communion. We may open for an altar call. We may not. But you can come in your pew this morning. You can come to Jesus. You can come during the communion to Jesus. But some folks don't want to come. They want refreshment, but they want to stay right where they're at. I don't want to be too hard on us this morning, but if you come, you leave something behind. What are some things you leave behind? I think a big one is pride. I'm afraid anybody knows I got this problem, they won't think I'm as spiritual as I am. What if people knew that we had that in our family? Now, I'm not talking, you know, you've heard me preach long enough. I'm not talking about just hanging out your laundry to dry and just emoting everywhere, you know. I'm talking about genuinely coming to Christ for help. If you come to Him, you must leave your pride and self-sufficiency and come as you truly are, someone in need. Sometimes we have to leave the cocoon of our comfort. Sometimes we have to leave our pity party to come to Jesus. Amen? Am I preaching the truth? Amen, Corner. To come to Jesus, there's some things we must leave. Amen. Maybe we have to leave our faithlessness. We've lost our faith. Maybe we have to leave the security of what we've always been and come to Him. You know, so many times when things get really bad, folks head the wrong direction. I've seen that over and over in the pastoring of the church. problems hit, but instead of coming to Christ and coming to his family and coming to a place of seeking him, they head the other direction. I'm telling you, when the problems start heaping up, when the temptation increases, amen, with the difficult, it's not a time to head any other direction. It's time to come to Jesus and head his direction. Come, he says. And then he gives this instruction. He said, and take my yoke upon you. To accept the promise, we take his yoke. You see, the thing is, and I've emphasized this over and over in this series, but the promises to God's people are promises to God's people. And so for the promise to be real, it's to be the people of God. Sure, you can come and become a person of God, but the promise is to the people of God. You know, I have found so many, they want all the blessings of God, but this is a little sticking point. They don't want the yoke. You know, I know we're removed from a farming society, but we've still seen enough pictures and we've still read enough old stories and we still have some with us that have been there. We still know what a yoke is, and a yoke does not symbolize play, right? A yoke does not symbolize euphoria. A yoke symbolizes work. And so there's many people, they would love to have all the blessings of being a person of God, but they don't like this yoke part. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Now, look, I'm not getting into this. This is simply an illustration. But that's what the frustration is for many Americans on the immigration issue. It's not they don't want folks to immigrate. It's they know that our ancestors, most of our ancestors came from another country. In fact, they all did, unless you're Native American, and then they came at one point. I mean, the frustrating point is when they hear of those that have never went through the classes, never made an effort to become American citizens, never made an effort to fulfill the same responsibilities those of us that are citizens undergo, for them to have the same benefits and all the same privileges of those that bore the responsibility. I'm not trying to open up the debate. I'm just saying that's one of the points of frustration. But may it be clear, yes, he's a God with wide open arms. He welcomes any sinner, any unbeliever. But the promises of God are for God's people. And so Jesus says, come unto me and you'll find rest. And so he says, take my yoke. What is taking the yoke of Christ? It's taking the responsibility of being a follower of Christ. The gospel of today is come to Christ, he'll bless you. Come to Christ, he'll make you rich. Come to Christ, he'll give you a better and bigger automobile. But Jesus' message was, if any man will be my disciple, let him come unto me, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Hallelujah. It's not just God bless me, bless me, bless me, but it's God, I'm going to serve you. And you know what we discover? It's when we take that yoke, it's when we begin to serve Christ that the refreshing comes. The refreshing comes in serving him unreservedly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take his yoke. There is a yoke. Today, folks, would like to present being a Christian and accepting Christ is a drug that will give you a more euphoric high. But I'm telling you, serving Christ is exactly that. It's serving him, living for him, doing his will. Hallelujah. Let me give you one example. I do this to encourage you. I don't use these illustrations to give you ideas. You ever wonder about that with kids? Now, don't touch that. Hadn't thought of it, Mom. Thanks. Let me give you just one practical illustration of the yoke. Most of you didn't find it easy to get up early this Sunday morning. You did not sleep in this Sunday morning. Those of you that have an interest in this, you don't stay home and watch NFL football on Sunday night because it's the playoffs. You just pray that a family member gets sick. I mean, I'm joking. And those things you may say, well, they shouldn't be a yoke, that should be a joy. And they should. But I'm just telling you, when that alarm goes off, how much you love God. And you've had to get up early every day of the week. And now it's time to get up and go and early and get up to go to church. That, you know, you deal with that. But instead of being discouraged, you say, that's just part of the yoke. And when I'm wearing the yoke, I'm going to know the rest. Amen. That's the way it is. I just do this thing. I love God. I serve God. Amen. There's things I do and don't do because I am bearing the yoke of Jesus Christ. How many knows many times to make up your mind to wholly serve Christ increases your difficulty. Increases your difficulty at work. Increases your difficulty at school. But don't look at that in dismay. That's just the yoke. And I haven't got there yet, but one thing you got to keep in mind, look whom you're yoked to. Wouldn't you rather be yoked to Christ than tied to this world and tied to sin and tied to Satan? And make no mistake, you may be yoked to Jesus Christ, but those that do not serve him, they are yoked to the wicked one. So he said, take your yoke. And then he said, not only come, not only take the yoke, he said, learn of me. I'm talking about how to accept this promise of rest. Learn of me. Literally, you know, sometimes we say, well, we'll just learn stories about Christ, and that's great. But notice really the emphasis here, learn of me. Let me teach you. Not so much, Jesus isn't saying, I'm the subject of what you learn. He's saying, I am the teacher. How many knows he is the great teacher? Learn of me. Learn of me from my words. Learn of me from my actions. Learn of me from my capital WORD, my word. Learn about me. Did you know it's in learning about Jesus that weariness will leave? What are you talking about? We talked in our Sunday school class, and when people say hateful things to you and do you wrong, and I mentioned that Christ is our example. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. Just knowing that, that's refreshing. Amen. And that does come, learning of him. He's not here in human form to teach us, so we learn of him. He speaks through his teachers and his preachers. He speaks through songs. He speaks through scriptures. He speaks through the words of our fellow men. And this week, there was a great pressure that I was dealing with, and I just heard on, I had the radio going, the Christian radio, and they came on an old quartet, and they began to sing that old hymn, more about Jesus, let me learn more of his will, let me discern, and it goes to the verse, more, or the chorus, more about Jesus, and I begin to feel the refreshing of God. I'm telling you, what we need isn't to know more about this world. We don't need to learn from the wicked. We don't need to learn from the sinner. We don't need to learn from the experts of this world on spiritual matters. We need to learn from him. And I believe he is talking. I believe he is leading. I believe he is speaking. You come. You take the yoke, you learn. Hallelujah. What's your relationship with him? And then I want us to notice from his words why we can do it. Why we can come. First of all, he says you can come. He said, come unto me. You see, this isn't just on somebody else's suggestions. You know, Mark, you got troubles. Why don't you try going to Jesus? It's not on somebody else's suggestion. This is at his invitation. Amen. Hallelujah. It makes a difference. It does. At his invitation, he says you can come. But here's the wonderful thing. You can come, Brother May, because not only does he give an invitation, he made a way for us to come. He's not just a giver of the invitation. He's the maker of the way. Through Christ, we have access to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Hebrews says that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was on all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We can do it. We can come. He says we can. Secondly, because he is approachable. Look what he says. I'm talking about his words. Look at verse 29. He says, come unto me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Did you ever have a problem in school but was afraid to go to your teacher because you're afraid they'd bite your head off? How many had teachers that would bite your head off? Well, my algebra teacher, 4'11". He's approachable. I had folks that finally came to me and said, I just didn't know if I should come to you or not. I was kind of afraid to come. But somebody said, why don't you go talk to Brother Hurst? He won't bite your head off. I'm glad you felt that way. Thank you. I mean, it's not like I got, you know, trophies on my wall back there, heads I bit off. He's approachable. Come unto me, for I am meek and lowly. You see, I don't think I can talk to them. I don't know how they'll feel. I don't know how pastor will feel or this person will feel or think if I go to them. But I'm telling you, you can come to Christ. He's meek and lowly. You're not coming to one that's condemning and hateful and angry and cruel and arrogantly snobbish. You are coming to one who is meek and lowly. Hallelujah. He is kind and gentle. That's what it means. He is kind. How many knows he's the gentle shepherd? Hallelujah. When you come to him, you're coming to the gentle shepherd that takes the bleeding and the hurting lamb in his arms and embraces him and carries him when they can't walk on their own. Why can we come to him? Because to do so, even taking the yoke, is the best life to live. Look what he says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm just about done. I know I've shared this before, but since we're dealing directly with this passage of scripture, I want to tell you one more time and talk about the old world yoke that they use. My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. Amen, son. Will you help me come up here? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll just use me and you. Amen. We're yoked together. We're trying to pull that plow. I would hope I could pull a little more than he can. We just can use this illustration a few more years here. You know, in that time, a lot of them weren't wealthy enough to match their animals. I mean, that's a great thing to do if you can, to match your animals. Amen. Same size, same kind of animal. They couldn't. They might have had an ox and a donkey. They might have had different sized horses. They couldn't match them. So they had a particular type of yoke that they developed. And in that yoke, it had, I don't know exactly if it was slots or holes, but it had a way that you could adjust that yoke. In other words, here I am, a big old guy. Here he is, a little old animal. We're trying to pull this plow. Amen. They would adjust that yoke so each could do what they could do. Now, here's the thing. They would do it. They would adjust the yoke for two things. Number one, they would adjust it so this fella here wouldn't get a free ride. Doing all the work. He's over there. Or however oxen do. So they'd adjust it so he wouldn't get a free ride. But they would also adjust it in case the load got too much for him. They would adjust it and let the stronger animal take up the slack. Thank you. We are in the yoke with Christ, and it is mismatched. He's everything. He's strong. We're weak. But his yoke is easy. It's an adjustable yoke. I want to tell you, this may not be popular for churches or for America, but in the kingdom of God, nobody just gets a free ride. God has a desire that everyone do what they can in serving him. And so he adjusts that yoke so we can do what we can do. But when the load gets too rough and the burden gets too heavy, he adjusts the yoke and takes the pressure that's too much for us and puts it upon Christ, who can bear it. How many knows he can pull the burden? His yoke is easy. That means it's kind. It doesn't mean it's leisurely. It means it's full of grace, full of mercy. But not only is his yoke easy, his burden is light. I think you got to do that by comparison. Number one, any burden you bear for Christ is going to be easier than bearing the burdens of sin and the consequences of sin. I like it. We used to sing, His way is brighter, His burden's lighter. I'm walking up the King's highway. Oh, there is joy in knowing with Him I'm going. We're in the yoke together. I said, there is joy in knowing with Him I'm going. I'm a walking up the King's highway. Oh, His burden is easy. His yoke is easy. And His burden is light. Would you come, music? Oh, hallelujah. I wonder how many here, you don't have to lift a hand, but you would say directly to Him, Jesus, I need Your promised rest. I'm so weary. I'm so tired. And I want you to believe something this morning. In partaking of communion, we are, if we do it, we'll do it by faith. In partaking of communion, we are coming to Him this morning for rest. If we do it by faith. I don't know if you're worried. Amen. I want you to close your eyes just for a moment. And I don't know if you can imagine this with me or not. Jesus first gave this invitation over 2,000 years ago, around 2,000 years ago. But I wonder if you'd listen with your heart. Would you do that? Come on, all across the building, listen with your heart. Can't you hear Him still saying it? Come unto Me, all ye that are laden, labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Can you hear Him saying it? Come unto Me. Come unto Me. Come unto Me. Come unto Me. Listen. Listen, can you hear Him? He's not condemning. He's not angry. He's not frustrated. He's meek and lowly. Would you come to Him? Come to Him right now in your hearts. Come to Him right now in your hearts. God, I need rest. God, I need help. God, I've got to have You. Lord, I can't do this on my own. Come, Lord. I come to You, Lord. I come to You, Lord. Ushers, would you come? Those that are serving communion, that is. Hallelujah.
If not for the old rest. if not for the old rugged cross, if not for a hill called Calvary, I would live my whole life and die lost. If not for the old rugged cross, if not for the old rugged cross. I shudder to think of how it would be if God would have left my redemption to me. What could I do, and what could I say? My only hope hung on a hill far away. If not for the old rugged cross, if not for a hill called Calvary, I would live my whole life and die lost. If not for if not for the old rugged cross, if not for a hill called Calvary, I would live my whole life and die lost. If not for if not for the old rugged cross, if not for a hill called Calvary, I would live my whole life and die lost. If not for
praise the Lord. If you have any doubt that he's meek and lowly, think of the fact that you hold the emblems in your hand, that his body was broken for us, and he humbled himself to death and shed his blood for us. I ask you to imagine or believe that you could hear him saying, come unto me. And we're going to do that through partaking of these elements of communion. We're coming to him humbly. We're coming to him sincerely. We're coming to him without pretense. We're coming to him to simply say, Lord, I need your rest. Would you stand across the building? We're going to partake together. Brother Jim Helfenstein, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the bread? Amen. Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your body was broken that our lives could be put together. Hallelujah. We're going to partake of the cup. I say it about every time because that's the truth. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There's no putting away. There's no cleansing from sin. Amen. Brother Maggard, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the cup? Partake together. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, let's give him thanks. Hallelujah. Just keep coming to him right now. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. I'll forgive. I'll cleanse. I'll lift up. I'll give the hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let Jesus be Jesus to you right now. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's come to him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I come to you, Lord. I come to you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh. Well, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. And oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white. I'm so thankful for blood. I want to hear you sing it, church. So thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm meek and lowly. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. It washes white. There is power in the blood. Do you need refreshing? Hallelujah. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. It washes white. Not in the words, but let's sing it. There's a rest in the blood of Jesus. There's a rest in the blood. I will give you rest, Jesus. There's a rest in the blood of Jesus. And it was. Oh, let the Spirit minister to you. Let's sing it one more time. I'm so thankful. No other way, no other help.
I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm so thankful.
Well, don't you let him minister to you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Oh, it washes white as snow. Oh, let's praise him. If you're here, you need salvation. You need that washing. You need that forgiveness of sin. These altars are always open. Hallelujah, Lord, we praise you. Lord, we worship you. Oh, Jesus. 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 Oh, hallelujah. I believe there's been some coming to Christ this morning and humbling of hearts. Amen. Part of the Lord's Supper is to love one another, greet one another before you leave. Be here tonight. Let's expect great things from the Lord.